Welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. Y'all know the drill. I'ma load this music up. T Streets, always first. That's what's good. What's good, T Streets?
What's going on?
Ain't nothing. Oh, Trey trying to be second. All right.
I bet no this music. Bro, kicking me out with T, man. T kicking me out.
Goody,
what's goody? Hold up.
She got that fine. She got that fine.
Hello.
Nice words.
Donnie.
What's going on, T?
Chilling. What's going on?
Not much.
Donnie acting like she wasn't late.
I wasn't. See? I was early, so I was on time.
Okay.
What's up, Donnie?
What's going on, E? How are you?
I'm good. I'm trying to just load all these.
Man, we're about to do this thing. This is what we do.
I didn't confuse myself on one of these.
Are we finding Reek?
Nah, he has a function tonight with his kids.
Okay, he still need to be fine.
So that's why
he's still a fine. His last minute, he's still getting fine.
That's the 13. Yeah, $13.
You know what I'm saying? He let you know, but he ain't let the crew know.
Yeah,
so,
you gotta let the crew know. Yeah.
Hey, bro. Hey, you know what I want to talk about tonight, dog? This is what I want to talk about, dog. It's how many fucking group chats is too many group chats?
Oh my God, what?
Because, like, dog, like, seriously, like. Like, I'm an older gentleman. Like, it be too many chats.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you think you talking to somebody, right? Or
you want to know how to fix it? I can tell you how to fix it.
Hold on. But listen, but you don't know at first, right? Like, you find out, like, afterwards. That's the problem. Like, when he texts me, I swear to you, unless E says something, I assume that everybody got the same text I got.
Everybody didn't get the same text.
Because I don't be like looking up and all this shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I seriously thought that's why I said it, like I assumed that people knew, right? You know what I mean?
It's all good. We just mess with Reed, dog. Yeah. You know how I go, man.
1375.
Let me stop this music, man. Boom.
But no, but seriously though, like in any event, like, you know, it could be, you know, family.
You a little bit low, Trey, tonight. A little low.
Thank God. Hold on. Let's keep it that way.
Hello?
Okay, now we back.
So, like, we people, yeah, you ever, like, respond in the wrong group chat and.
Hell yeah. Hey,
dog, I'm like, yo. T set me up yesterday. Lovely. That was beautiful. He said, that was beautiful. Then. Shit with tonight with Reek, I was like, oh shit, I thought that was in the group chat. And he was like, thinking, we ain't get none of that.
Nah.
So I'm like, ah. Oh. Too many motherfucking group chats, dog.
Well, welcome to the Rec Room Podcast. This is episode 64. The title of this episode is Big Back Energy.
That's T. That's T with that title, y'all. America.
Big Back Energy.
T and Charlamagne. Hey.
If y'all go with my titles, we gonna be out of here. I'm trying to tell you.
I love them. I love the titles, man.
I love most of them.
So you know how we get started. Most of the time, we get started with sports. When it comes to the NBA, you know they're in the last, I guess, quarter of the season. So it's not really much to talk about. People are fighting for playoff spots, and now they have something in the NBA called the play-in. And if you're ranked within the first 10 teams, I guess 9 and 10 get the battle for the 8th spot. But what did come out today in sports, and this is kind of breaking news, and I really want y'all to, you know, tell me what you think about it. Jake Paul to fight Mike Tyson in boxing match streamed live on Netflix. It says, Netflix is coming out swinging in the world of live sports. Mike Tyson. The scandal plagued former heavyweight champion. I don't like how they
put all that in.
Yeah, that shit dumb. It says we'll go to head with the YouTuber turned fighter Jake Paul in a boxing mega event that will stream live exclusively on Netflix on July 20th. The entertainment giant announced on Thursday, which is today. It says Tyson and Paul are set to duke it out inside AT&T Stadium, an 80,000-seat capacity venue in Arlington, Texas, and the home of the NFL's weakest team, Dallas Cowboys. Oh, it says the company announced in the news release. It says the event marks one of Netflix's most ambitious forays into both sports programming and live entertainment as it seeks to cement its status as the premier at-home viewing destination in the United States, muscling aside traditional players and broadcasting cable. It says the company recently reached a 10-year deal for the exclusive rights to stream World Wrestling Entertainment weekly flagship show Raw starting in January 2025. The headline-grabbing deal was valued at more than $5 billion, according to the company. Says Tyson, who will be 58 when the Netflix fight streams, earned a reputation as one of the most ferocious boxers in the world. My question to you guys is, are you looking forward to this? And is this staged or is this going to be real?
Go ahead, T.
I'm looking forward to it only because it's Iron Mike. Only because it's Iron Mike. If it was anybody else, I don't care. I haven't watched Jake Paul fight at all. Never. Oh, besides the Mike fight. Besides the Mike Roy Jones fight. When he knocked out Nate Robinson. That's the only time I seen Jake Paul fight.
Okay.
Donnie, what you think about it?
Look, I don't even have any thoughts on it. I just feel like, I mean, what's going on with the age difference and everything? Don't you think that's like a setup sort of kind of?
I think that what I think is that all the Jake Paul fights are set up. I believe that it's Jake Paul. Jake Paul is like the WWE, WWF, and all that. I think that all his fights are set for him to win.
Right.
I believe that it's entertainment. I think that Mike Tyson, this is a fake fight. Now, I don't know who, I don't know if Jake Paul, if they're going to pay, if they paid Mike Tyson to take the fall or Jake Paul knows he's going to take the fall. But I definitely know. I don't know, but I really think this is just a set fight. It's entertainment, and they're going to know the winner before. They talk to this, and they're going, you know,
I might watch it. I don't know.
So, so listen, no, all of y'all have really good viewpoints on it. I think that Jake Paul is for where he came from, he's a damn good fighter. I saw him fight about three fights.
You think he a good fight? Trey, them Jones is set up, bro.
Dog.
Bro, you drinking the juice, bro. You drinking the juice. Nah, they got you, bro. Entertainment, bro. He's not a real boxer, dog.
Bro, so he the motherfucker's strong, E.
Dog.
He all right.
You drinking the juice, man. You must used to watch WWE and all that
shit. You used to watch that shit. That was fake, but this boxer shit?
No, dog.
This
shit is fake, dog. I'm telling you.
I don't see this being real. That's why I'm like, doesn't it matter with the age difference and everything? I just feel like it's a waste of time.
So once y'all politely let me
scream. You ain't saying nothing, man.
Okay. So Jake Paul, that motherfucker hit hard. And his brother hit hard too. And Mike Tyson take a dive.
Mike not taking a dive.
Mike's not gonna do that.
Mike was trying to take Roy Jones' face off.
Jake Paul gonna get his first L then.
I mean, it's possible, but I've seen homie fight like three times. I watched like three of his fights. I don't think
he can beat Tyson for real. I don't think he can.
Mike 78 years old, so he
you gotta think about it like this. Jake Paul,
if Mike catch him, it's over.
And Jake Paul is not no real fighter, man.
He can box though, man. You're not giving him credit.
I'm not giving him no credit. I think he's a pure entertainer.
Him and his brother.
Put like this. He can box. They are entertainers. He making box, but he can't beat a real professional fighter. If Jake Paul beats an actual professional fighter,
get him in the ring with Floyd.
It is fixed. He's not good enough to beat a real professional fighter, man.
I think that's true, but I think that he has a shot. Well, it depends on what you're saying. You got the amateurs, you got lightweights, you got like heavyweights, you got different divisions now. Fighting against a seasoned dude around his age, I think he gonna get that work. But he's
I think
good
he's just
enough.
Trying to get his
he's
name out enough, there than more than what it is. He's entertaining.
Oh,
think
they rich.
This is just.
He's box office. He's box office.
Yeah, he's super box office.
He entertainment, man. Them fights real, yeah. Man.
And he white, so you know what I mean? The sports news of the whole month is the Bulls of the Waldorf Bulls shocking Waldorf last night in the shocking first round playoff destruction of whoever the hell we beat last night.
you know, I like how he slid that in.
We lost to the same team like the third game of the damn season when my kids didn't know what the hell they was doing, but now I got to play like animals on defense. So the second round is tomorrow. Y'all wish us luck, man. If we win a chip, I'm taking a month off. I'm just telling you. If we win a chip, I'm just saying.
What kind of coach are you? Are you the type of coach that are you the laid back coach? Or are
he
you
radio.
Coach
what?
That's yelling. Are you the coach that's yelling at the players?
So when we have DJ back on the show with us, I want you to ask DJ that same question. He's going to tell you, I am a psychopathic animal. As a matter of fact, this is how crazy I am. I'm not even the goddamn coach. I'm the assistant coach.
Okay.
But I'm standing up. The head coach sits down. I'm screaming at 10-year-olds. I'm convincing them
that
they're goddamn better than what they are because they respond to great coaching. So we blew the team off the court. This team beat us early in the season, right? So we got beat worse by the team that we're going to play tomorrow night, but I wasn't there for that game. So
I got
just,
you.
Everybody, just stay tuned.
Trey, don't be in there scaring the kids.
Man. Congratulations,
man.
How many rounds
y'all gotta
is
come
it?
Come on, watch the game. So I think that after you win tomorrow, I think that the chip will be maybe sometime this weekend. But I got a triple check because, you know, it's like a to-be-determined type schedule because of all the games.
Okay, I got you.
Hey, somebody fight somewhere.
Don't be scaring the kids.
It's not me.
That's already over. They already traumatized by me. They better.
So look, and so this news right here is I guess sad. Deadline. Now I don't know. I don't remember his name. I mean, his name doesn't sound familiar. So this is from Deadline. It says actor and NBA player Rashid Byrd gets 90 years to life. It says a former NBA player and actor was sentenced to 90 years to life in prison on Friday for a series of violent sexual assaults. It says the Los Angeles Police Department said an investigation into Rashid Byrd began in 2019. A victim reported she had been sexually assaulted. During the investigation, detectives learned in 2010, Byrd was convicted of sexual assault involving a different victim. The LAPD release stated. Detectives also discovered that Byrd had been arrested for sexually assaulting a young woman in Washington State in 2005. It says he started as a charmer, playing up his status as an athlete and celebrity, but that quickly faded into rapes and violence, said Detective Dar Brown, who served as the lead investigator on the case. Byrd played 22 games for the Los Angeles Defenders in the NBA Development League, which is the D League, is now the G League, in 2008 and 2009 season. So they make it seem like he really played in the league. He said,
yeah.
He also appeared in the 2008 Will Ferrell starring basketball comedy, Semi-Pro, playing a member of the fictional American Basketball Association team, the Flint Tropics. He also appeared in a documentary, short film. He was arrested for sexual assault. So this is my thing that I had asked earlier. Sexual assault and rape are two different things, correct? Or am I wrong? Go ahead, T.
They're two different things.
Okay. And so the detective had made a comment saying that he's a rapist, but the charges say that he got that time for sexual assault, for a whole bunch of sexual assault. I'm guessing the sexual assault is grabbing asses and stuff. I don't know. But my question to Danya is, do you feel like 90 years is excessive for continuous sexual assault?
Yeah, duh. I mean, shoot, he did it more than once.
So you say he deserved the 90 years?
Hey, look, you out here doing that. Who's to say you won't do it again? I think they try to make sure that he don't come back out here and do it again.
90 years?
90 years, man. You got to pay the crime for it. You know? Okay.
Hey, so let me add to that. So you have former NFL safety Darren Sharper. His lawyer must have been a little bit better.
It had
because
to be.
Because Darren Sharper was sentenced to 20 years. Mm-hmm. In 2016, after being accused of drugging and raping as many as 16 women in Louisiana, California, Arizona.
Yeah, that was his lawyer.
Nevada. But the crazy part was, homie, he was on TV. He was doing, like, NFL shows.
Wow.
Like, he was on TV while he was doing this. They picked him up, and once they locked him up, like, you seen him on TV one day, then he was locked up, like, that next week. But yeah, so he only got 20 years for 16 different offenses.
Yeah, he had a little bit of money.
Yeah, he had some money.
Because he played in the NBA, in NFL.
Yeah, he actually played.
Yeah, he actually played.
Yeah, you know, they always associate. You can do like one day on the G League in the hairline. They'll play former NBA player.
Right,
no,
right,
he didn't play in no league. Like,
he played in the, he probably played in the preseason.
I only remember him from semi-pro. That's all I only remember him. I didn't know the man played any type of basketball.
I hadn't heard his name before, but they associated with him. Now, this is from CNN Sports. And of course, a lot of people cover this because guess who it is? It's some people's GOAT. LeBron James becomes the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 career points. It says Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James has become the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 points, accomplishing the milestone on Saturday during the team's 124-114 loss at home against the Denver Nuggets. The NBA's all-time leading scorer notched his historic bucket on a left-handed layup. I'm left-handed. I just had to say that. With 10:41 left. Oh, you are?
Hey,
T2, everybody special on here. Hey. You right-handed or left-handed, Trey? So, you right-handed or left-handed, man? Let me know. Which one?
No wonder I like y'all.
That all left-handed people were homeschooled. Anyway.
What?
My youngest son,
that's how you going.
My youngest son is left-handed, and
he's
nice.
Okay, so he's special, bro.
We think Cruzy, outside of the box.
Cruzy left-handed like shit. He do both, but he do like 95% left-handed.
Special guy, man. So
yes.
It says the NBA's all-time leading scorer notched his historic bucket or left-handed layup. It was with 10:41 left in the second quarter, prompting loud cheers from fans at Crypto Arena. It says both teams continued to play following the historic bucket. The Lakers called a timeout with over a minute left. And I guess at that point they was able to give LeBron a standing ovation. They lost the game. So they say AD said that when LeBron breaks records, they lose games.
Oh, shit.
It was a joke, but it's the truth. And so so LeBron James, right? And this comes up. We're going to touch on it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And there's always a debate about who the GOAT is. A lot of times I see people pick between LeBron, Kobe, and Jordan for the most part.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this on chat. And Trey has said that LeBron James is the GOAT. And I just want to know real quick, like, what makes you say that?
So Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player I've ever seen. But LeBron James is the goddamn GOAT. He's the GOAT, bro. He's the GOAT. It's no end to this guy. His physical stature, mind, 40,000 points. He won a championship with every single team that he's ever played on. He came back from a 3-1 lead against my mighty Warriors.
He lost the championship with every team he played on, right? Isn't that
but
correct?
But he also won.
And oh, okay.
MJ didn't win shit with the Wizards. So,
oh, come on, bro. Go
ahead. Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa. Come on, Schnell. Whoa,
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 whoa, whoa, whoa.
Go
ahead. He took a shot. I'll take my
come
shot.
Come on, bro.
Which one
I can't believe
do?
You, bro.
Hey, bro. But check it out. But check it out. MJ's the greatest, bro. But LeBron the motherfucker goat.
Okay. On, so look bro. At this.
MJ the greatest.
All right. So this one I'ma say, right? So you're saying that so you basically said that that
Van Rob says she loved LeBron, but MJ is overrated.
Go okay, ahead. MJ's overrated. So what I'm about to do. Ahead, so this is what I'm gonna do. So you know, we're fans and we know we haven't right. you know never played in the NBA, but I'm gonna play what an NBA player said. Okay. About LeBron James, and this is Dame Lillard. So y'all tell me
about Jordan. About Jordan.
No, about yeah, you're right. About Jordan, and this is Damian Lillard, who now plays for the mind you, he's a superstar, and he plays for the Milwaukee Bucks at this time. I'm gonna play what he said, and then after this, y'all give me what y'all think.
Okay. And when we get in the hallway, you see MJ walking towards us. He wasn't even in there for the.
He just got there.
So he's walking, and it's. More cameras on just him by himself than it is on all of us. And it was like, that's when you really saw the difference of like, man, this dude, the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like when he was walking, everybody was just staring at him. Yeah. Like even all the people that was
like the top 75,
the top
looking at
other 74 was looking at him like he was walking up. He walked up. It was like he just took over the
well, I know
the whole situation.
They introduced y'all names. They was calling y'all names and calling y'all out. And everybody got their ovations and all that. But when Mike walked out, it seemed like
different.
Seemed like the volume just went up for some reason on my TV.
He walked out.
Was that your first time meeting him? Because before you said you hadn't met Mike before.
I still ain't never met him.
You just looked at him.
Look, I was sitting there. I was standing next to Clyde. And I just was staring at him like. Because all the lights was on him and it was just like, man, that's Jordan. Like,
he's glowing.
I'm looking at him like his arms, his hands. Like, I'm just looking at him like, damn. I ain't say nothing to him. Then they lined us up and we all walked out. The whole time, I ain't say nothing. I'm just looking like, damn. I was looking around at everybody, but like when he came out, it was like unreal.
Yeah, that was how
loud it was. How everybody like, if you looked around the arena, it was nothing but stars there.
Yeah, right.
Like we would all recognize these people as stars, and how they even was looking at them was like they felt small too. You know what I mean? Like everybody was just like. It's Jordan.
Man. I felt like that watching it on TV.
The true GOAT.
True GOAT.
Okay.
LeBron true was GOAT. In attendance, by the way. One of the others that was looking at him still like he was, oh man, that's basketball Jesus right there. That's black Jesus right there.
Oh, and that can't.
T, do the analogy. Pickup game analogy that you did.
Somebody said it on this pod. It might have been Reek. I thought it was you, but. But somebody said that if you have both of them at a pickup game, you know nothing about them, but you know that they both can ball. Mm-hmm. All you know is that they're great at basketball, but you know nothing about them. They're not in. You don't know they're in the NBA. You don't know the statistics. You don't know the championships. You don't know none of that. Now, if we're there, I think most people just looking at them is going to pick LeBron. Because he's the physical specimen. He's the 6'9", 250, can do it all. The problem with picking LeBron is then you're going to lose because the 6'6", 215 guy, 220 guy going to come out there and kill everything because he's the killer. He's the GOAT. I'm sorry. LeBron is the greatest talent I've ever seen. He's just not better than Jordan.
Okay. I like how you said that. I like how you said that.
What you think about what Dame said, Trey?
I respect Dame, but listen to what Darius the author said. Lillard never won shit, so of course he gonna feel like that.
What that guy do anything? What that guy do anything? That don't have nothing to do with nothing.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, look, I respect Dame, man. But Dame is Dame. You know what I mean? Like I love me some Jordan too, man. I'm just still in awe of LeBron, just watching him. I seen him at the McDonald's All-Star game where he actually got outplayed by Shannon Brown. Other than that, his whole career has been just a storybook, bro. He's still going. He's still relevant in the goddamn NBA playoff race right now.
Who? LeBron? Yeah, I can't take nothing from LeBron, and I actually do understand how people, you know, can call him the GOAT, especially if you were born in a different, you know, generation.
Yeah.
I get it, you know what I'm saying? So I don't knock nobody who feels like that. I'm a LeBron fan, and basketball on the court and off the court, he you know,
he's right.
Him, you know what I mean? But I'm still going with MJ.
Yeah.
I feel now, you, bro. I feel you.
Now, this story right here is from CNN Business, and the millennials, I guess, will love to hear this. This says that millennials stand to become the richest generation in history after $90 trillion wealth transfer. It says many millennials are currently grasping in frustration at long-held American dreams like home ownership, a steady job, and an affordable cost of living. However, the next 20 years, millennials are poised to inherit some $90 trillion dollars of assets to become the richest generation in history, but only the ones who already come from affluent families potentially depending wealth and inequality further. It says between now and 2044 in the U.S., the silent generation and baby boomers are expected to hand over the reins of their significant wealth to millennials, according to the Wealth Report, a periodic report, Global Property Consultant Knight Frank. But whether you're a millennial or on the receiving end, that the wealth will transfer to is largely a lottery of birth. Since ultimately, this wealth shift is a result of the inheritance from prior generations, largely involving property, but also other assets. It will bring changes to how wealth is put to use, said Leanne Bailey, global head of research at Knight Frank, in a statement. Says the research also showed that affluent young people are less likely to see property or real estate as the way to build wealth in the future. That's interesting. It says the low interest rate environment and impressive growth in house prices over the past 15 years is unlikely to be repeated in the next 15. Mike Pickett, director of the C-Zone Capital, said in the report that there's evidence, he said, that the following generation, Gen Z, may be more comfortable renting a home, leasing a vehicle, and living in a subscription lifestyle than prior generations. There's a lot going on in the background. Said he added,
those them children whole basketball tournament, I'll be.
He added that not only will wealth be transferred to these young people, but there are a variety of new ways to build wealth. It goes beyond simple shift in existing wealth, Pickett said. I think the diversity of opportunity to create wealth has also grown. For example, there are YouTubers worth tens of millions. Yes. First generation wealth creation is on the rise, and is the array of entrepreneurial routes and to create it. So I guess because the young people are earning money from different avenues other than real estate and stuff.
Other than real estate. And a lot of them are not even going to look to real estate as an option. Just like it says, what you got? You got crypto. You got crypto being a big one. You just got so many different online businesses. Also, within the last 15 years, you had the most first-time millionaires ever in history. And a lot of that is not coming from real estate. So getting on YouTube, you're seeing how you can gain wealth by so many different avenues, so many different other I don't want to say hustles, but you just getting in, you're tapping into what other people are into, investing in things like land, right? It's bonds. It's so many different types of avenues. Speaking of getting rich. T, you want to talk to us about your Bitcoin come up? Speaking of investments, you don't got to get too intrusive, but can you just speak to the people about, you know, how you made $1 million this week?
Wow. That's not true, people. Don't listen to him.
900,000.
But, no, I mean, how I made it, I just invested. That's all. I just invested. I picked a certain amount that I wanted to invest monthly. And I invested. Even when Bitcoin fell drastically, Because when I started investing in Bitcoin, it was at an all-time high. Less than a month later, it dropped $20,000. And then over the next couple years, it dropped like $45,000. I kept buying it. And now it's up and I'm up.
So do you buy in the red and green with everything or with certain things?
Well, no, with Bitcoin, Ethereum,
okay,
Cardano, and XRP, I'll buy in the red and the green, but when it's in the green, I'll lessen the amount that I invest. Okay. I'll change that number. When it gets lower, then I'll buy a little more every month.
I was going to get some more Doge today, but I didn't buy because it was in the green. Can you quickly explain what buying in the red or the green means real fast?
In the green is basically, well, buying it while the coins, the crypto is high. Mm-hmm. Truly in the green is based on what your actual portfolio looks like, because you could buy something at a price. If you buy it at $40, if it grows to $45, you're in the green. If it drops to $35, you're in the red. Mm-hmm. So that's the true meaning of green and red. But when it comes to just buying it, period, you know what the highs are. Once you start to invest, you just look at the history of whatever crypto that you're going to invest in.
Right.
When you see it starting to approach whatever the all-time highs are, for me, that's when I say, okay, let me start to reduce how much I invest monthly. Mm-hmm. As it drops, when it's going the opposite way, I will increase how much I invest monthly. Yeah. Because my goal is to get it at, you want it at the lowest price possible, but you have to invest. Because over time, it's going to grow. Like if somebody started today, it's up near or maybe it surpassed all-time high. You're not going to make any money, probably nothing substantial for a few years, because you got to give it time to finish whatever run it's on, take a drop, and then take off and surpass the run that is on now. Then you'll see like a true increase. Like I'm starting to see a nice increase on my crypto now. Mm-hmm. All of my crypto's up.
That's dope.
Family, let me hold something.
Hey, hey. Hey, what's that noise? Go ahead, E.
Oh, so no, I was, I'm soaking in all the info.
That was good,
T. So I forgot about a sports story, but I'll briefly just go over it because I forgot. But so for those who don't know, what's his name? Reggie Bush. Reggie, a lot of people know who Reggie Bush is. Reggie Bush played for the he was real popular. Who did he play for in college? Was it USC?
USC.
Okay, and he won the Heisman Trophy, and I guess he got caught for what? Getting money or what was it, T?
Bullshit.
Yeah, something about
something toward that.
Yeah, something about some type of payment.
Something like that. Now, this is something that we all know happened with college players, but you know, I guess he just got caught or whatever the case may be. Long story short, they took his Heisman Trophy away, and by them doing that, he hasn't gotten it back. Though you earned it, I don't know how you take a trophy away that was already earned and you won.
Right.
That's what they did. And Johnny Manziel, who was a college star at Texas Tech, I believe, didn't have the biggest NFL career, but he actually said that he is going to boycott his Heisman Trophy ceremony in support of Reggie Bush. And he's not going to do it, I guess, unless they give Reggie Bush his Heisman back.
Right.
That's a great stance. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I guess that's a good stance. Do y'all think, my question is, what Trey, do you feel like you would do something like that?
No. Okay. I mean, unless like that's my man or whatever, but I mean, that should be like 15 years ago, man. Johnny Manziel, out of here, Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I just had to bring that up. Hey, T, would you do it?
I'll do it. I would definitely do it. I'll definitely do it. But the problem with Johnny Manziel is that he's not a big enough name. Because, great college player. He needs some of the Hall of Famers that won the Heisman, or just the star NFL players that won the Heisman to join.
Right.
But him taking the first step in doing it, hopefully they do, because players get paid now.
If that's his man, I mean, I get it, but I mean, I just wouldn't do it. Just regularly do it.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring that up real quick.
Nah, that's a good joint.
I just wanted to bring that up real quick. But now this one that I read right here, this has kind of caught me off guard because I don't use Uber a lot, but I didn't know that they had sexual assaults going on. So this is from News 7. This says Uber sexual assault survivors. I'm like, damn, it's going like that. Uber sexual assault survivors share their stories in hopes the company will change safety protocols. So it says billions of Uber rides are taken and given every day, according to Uber's own 2019-2020 U.S. safety report. It says 3,824 sexual assaults across five categories were reported on the company's app. These are predator drivers, said an attorney. It says, I thought it would be safer to take an Uber, and it was not, said Jennifer, and an Uber assault. Sexual assault survivor. Says it almost felt like the driver was waiting for someone to get in the car and like a young girl to take advantage of, said Alex, and Uber assault sexual assault survivor. Says Jennifer and Alex are sharing their experience in hopes that Uber will change its safety practices around screening, hiring, and removing drivers from its platform. On her way to cat sit in the mission of summer, Jennifer says she took an Uber to avoid walking walking to her destination, thinking she'd be safer. Immediately, she says her Uber driver began asking her inappropriate questions. Oh, do you like the party? Oh, are you having fun? Are you getting off work? At her destination, he offered to help her with her bags. I was taking my backpack off, then hands were touching me, Jennifer explained. She said, I just kept thinking, I can't believe this is happening, she continued. And I said, no, that's very inappropriate. This is not. No, I don't want this. No, Jennifer said. Jennifer says she I'm laughing at the way I read.
Donnie, come on, Donnie.
It says, Jennifer says he eventually left and returned the next day with her cell phone that she had left in his car, and a neighbor took the phone to her. She filed a police report, and the investigation remains open. It says, at this time, it's unclear to Jennifer whether the driver was removed from Uber or what. And it says this is a reoccurring issue with Uber drivers, and I didn't know that. I'm oblivious to.
I've heard about those things happening. I haven't heard of anything happening within this area, but I have heard that it has happened. And that's scary, because my children take, Lyfts and Ubers from time to time. And I be doggone, what I'm saying? Somebody.
Well, go ahead.
So you have a Florida woman. This is 2019. A Florida woman sued Lyft earlier that month, alleging that she was raped by her Lyft driver and that the assault resulted in the birth of her third child.
Wow.
That's
crucial.
The suit is the latest in a string of sexual assault allegations involving the company. Lyft has pushed back on the allegations in the lawsuit, telling CNN in a statement that the alleged assault took place during an off-app ride hours after an official Lyft ride with the same driver. The company also said that it only became aware of the alleged incident years after it took place. So this could be something where it was where she's trying to get a money grab, but this shit should not coincide with real people that are really getting assaulted. And you got over almost 4,000 goddamn accounts of this?
Yeah. Now, the way that she described hers, I never take credit from anybody. I laughed when I was reading it because it read like a novel or like a story, like, don't touch me, I can't believe this. It was just a little, her story, well, at least me reading it, it just was kind of odd. And then he left his phone and came back to get his phone and all that weird shit. So.
Don't, isn't the cameras like, is it mandatory camera? It's not mandatory cameras and Lyft or
I don't think
or Ubers?
I don't know if it's mandatory. You know, I always see clips of people who got an Uber rides where it seems like some Ubers do tape it, but I don't think it's mandatory.
Yeah, anybody in the chat, if y'all ever drove Uber or Lyft, is it mandatory supposed to be taped? Because this is some crazy ass shit. Like, you just get in the car, somebody just start just, you know, assaulting you.
That's a little wild.
Almost 4,000.
This story right here, you know, what would be a part if we don't talk about Trump, right?
Okay.
And this is from NBC News, and it says, Trump called GOP candidate with a history of offensive remarks, Martin Luther King on steroids.
Ain't that about it, bitch.
It says, former President Donald Trump likened North Carolina Governor Mark Robinson to Martin Luther King Jr., in the endorsement Saturday. Despite the candidate's long history of controversial comments about homosexuality, religion, and victims of sexual abuse, it says, this is Martin Luther King on steroids, Trump said on Robinson at the pre-Super Tuesday rally in North Carolina. He be saying some wild shit, man. He said, I told Mark, I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two, he continued, as he offered Robinson his endorsement in the Republican primary on Tuesday. It says, Robinson has been a vocal supporter of the former president and first endorsed Trump for re-election in June while speaking at the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference in Washington, D.C. And I think T-Streets, was this the same? Is this the same place where Trump made the comments about black people wearing his shirt?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'm going to play the clip of Trump of Trump saying that. So this is a clip. I can't recall. I saw it, but I don't know exactly what this event was. But let's just listen to him real quick.
All these guys, Mark, working out, they're working out. They can never top a forklift, right? I'd rather drive a forklift than lift this way. But he drove it, and he drove it well. But I guess he was complaining about taxes in his town, and he got up and he made a speech. And they didn't care too much about what he said. They just said, this is the greatest speaker we've ever heard. Would you like to run for lieutenant governor or something? And he ran. Look at him, he's laughing. He ran. And he's been an unbelievable Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
Okay.
I heard him, and by the way, his wife is much, much more lovely than he is. I can tell you that. And she's my friend. Thank you, darling, for being here. But, you know, I heard him coming in on the plane. I was listening, and I said to the people on the plane, watch this. This is Martin Luther King on steroids. Okay, now, I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two. And he looked at me, and I wasn't sure, was he angry because that's a terrible thing to say, or was he complimented? I have never figured it out, but I'm telling you, he's one of, right? When I said that to you, you looked like, I don't know if I like that comment. You should like it, because you are outstanding, and you're going to be the next governor, so that's going to be very cool.
That is not a compliment.
The same guy, Mark Robinson, he said he wants to go back to the America where women couldn't vote.
Oh, that's what he's saying.
Yeah. So he makes outlandish comments, you know, coon, You feel me? And he's one of them. That's why Trump is endorsing him. Just like okay. he did Herschel Walker, dumbass.
Now, I asked y'all this before, and I'm going to ask y'all again to see if it's changed or not. Is Trump going to be the president, the next president?
AG voting for him, so we got to get AG to come on and talk about it.
Okay.
Trump yeah. is going to be the next president unless they lock him up. Trump is on his nigga shit. And when I say nigga, I mean he's on his ignorant shit.
He's definitely on his ignorant shit.
He's on his ignorant shit. And he's going to get you niggas. You niggas out there, he going to get y'all.
I mean, they already got one of them to get the shoes, too.
Hey,
so.
Yeah. Hey.
It's not, on get y'all.
Not only get the shoes, like endorse them like on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, you know, commercials or whatever. I mean, hopefully not. I mean, but you know, look at you don't really have any options, really.
You really yeah. don't. You really yeah. don't. You really don't. That's what I mean? Say. I think he'll win by
hopefully not,
the vote.
Though. Hopefully not, but you know, who knows?
Now, this right here is some entertainment news. So, Charlamagne the God, right? So, for those who don't know, there's a show called The Breakfast Club. It's a radio show. Mm-hmm. That's how I would describe it. And Charlamagne the God is an author. He's a host. He has many jobs, but you will probably know him mostly from being a host on The Breakfast Club. Very controversial. He's not as controversial as he was or as he used to be. Mm-hmm. But it says, recently, Charlamagne the God is slammed for fat phobia. After branding plus-size women big backs who are thirsty for a man while discussing TikToker Reese Atisa's viral Who the Fuck Did I Marry series.
Crazy.
Let me play the clip. This is clip one.
Last week, I reported on the viral TikTok series, Who the F Did I Marry? By Reese Atisa. And for those who may not be familiar, this is the woman who had an exclusive series on TikTok and shared all the lies her ex-husband told her and how she believed him. Charlamagne shared his opinion on the story when I reported it.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I hear a lot of big back behavior. Does she have a big back?
She do give Sheila that was driving up the mountain.
Okay.
Yeah, she
Sheila
did.
Was beautiful, though.
Yeah, no. You talked about the big back,
yeah,
not the face.
Yeah,
she's cool.
What's your thing with big backs?
No, I'm just saying, because in a situation like this, some of you big backs, y'all got to stop being so thirsty for a man. There's a man out there for you, okay? This woman believed all of this because she wanted to believe all of this. Big back belief? Mm-hmm. Isn't like everybody else's belief, okay? Mm-hmm. She said it herself. He said everything I wanted to hear. Yeah. She wanted to believe whatever was coming out of his mouth because she wanted a man so bad.
And then we'll play the second clip.
Y'all all the time, mm-hmm. the easiest way to keep your own peace is to not disturb the peace of others. Mm-hmm. I disturbed that woman's peace, and that wasn't my intention. So I apologize mm-hmm. if my words made her feel that way. But I do have two things to say. Mm-hmm. Number one, I never said she don't deserve love because of her size.
Right.
I didn't even know she was big. Just told the story, mm-hmm. and I said it sounds like big back behavior, and mm-hmm. then I started talking about big back belief. Now, if y'all want to have a conversation about reinforcing negative stereotypes of big backs, I mm-hmm. understand. Mm-hmm. I'm open to it. But acting like I was having a conversation about Reese Atisa's looks and size, that's not accurate. I was speaking in general terms about big back behavior and big back belief, and I actually said nobody has to be that desperate because there is a man out there for you. Mm-hmm. And I do have one final point, just one. Mm-hmm. We all have social media. No, we all have social media.
Absolutely.
And we all use it for different reasons.
Yeah.
And Reese is getting a lot of props for being so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Salute to her. But I personally feel like we have to stop bringing this stuff to social media.
Yeah.
If you don't want people to have an opinion about
it. Absolutely.
Because some of this stuff should just be reserved for our therapists. If we can't handle people having an opinion about whatever we are venting about, keep it off social media. That's my personal.
So he said what he said, but then he backtracked. So for those who don't know, and Danya, I'm going to ask you this. Reese Atisa is just a, she was a person who posted like a 50-page story on TikTok. She married a guy and they ended up getting divorced. And she just basically explained how much of a liar he was. And he was kind of living a false life. I didn't listen to any of it. I know a lot of women did, or you know, in general. So I didn't know, Donya. Did you listen to any of it?
I did. I did actually. I was even like listening to it, falling asleep, going, waking back up to try to get the rest of it, because it was very, very interesting how she was explaining, especially in detail, some of the things that she was going through. And us as women, all of us have had that moment or few moments, you know, where we've picked certain type of people and we're like, no, we don't think that he's lying, but it may be a lie. We trying to keep our, you know, our heads above water a little bit, but I don't know. But that was her experience. And like, that was crazy, you know, if you telling the story, you probably wouldn't believe it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I guess she needed somebody to be able to say, okay, yeah, I agree with what happened, you know, because I've been through it. And if her story was trying to help somebody, I'm pretty sure it helped a lot of people, because some of us ain't crazy.
Well, let me ask you this.
197 million views on TikTok.
Yeah, it went crazy. Yeah, so she's going to start doing it. But my question is, what do y'all feel about... was Charlamagne calling her a big back? Is there a problem with that?
I'm sorry, Trey. I was a bit offended by that, because that's just basically saying that that is kind of like talking about somebody's weight if you're saying big back, because that's how they refer to, you know, obese people nowadays, big back, you know. And then the comment that he made after that was like, oh, Sheila was prettier, you know what I'm saying? So you were insinuating that not only was she fat, she was not attractive. And because of that, that's probably more than likely why she ended up in the situation that she ended up in. I mean, that was just my opinion on how I saw it. And I thought that it was very distasteful, because one, you're black. And then two, this woman is black, and this is how you disrespect your black women. This is the problem that we're having with most men. It's like you're excusing her experience by talking about her body. That was not right. Nobody really got on him and how much trauma he put that woman through.
That's the only reason why he apologized. Him,
but he did not use his platform. Charlamagne did not use his platform to kind of zero in on that and why she made that series. It was just an attack on her.
Backhanded apology.
Yes, it was, because you tried to, I guess, try to dignify what it is that you did with a half-ass apology. And you didn't really mean the apology. You just did not want the backlash.
Yeah, and you know, we also, like, I don't fucking take, like, Charlamagne don't speak for me. You feel what I'm saying? Like yeah. he's a shock jock, right?
Yeah.
And he's pro-black in moments. So when he makes a statement like that, it's for shock value. And yeah. that's the corny part of it. And you know, nobody is going to be taking you seriously in a serious moment. So I mean, you know, it was distasteful. The lady has a right to talk about her experience on social media like every fucking body else does. Mm-hmm. I probably saw maybe about the first episode, maybe the first two. I thought that this shit was riveting. I didn't even know if it was true or not, but I was like, yo, this shit sound believable, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, if that's what she went through, she's articulate, she's not out here, you know what I mean, acting ignorant, yeah, whatever. She was just telling you what happened.
What happened, right.
T-Streets, how you feel about how you feel about the bit? Yeah.
This is how I feel. If I take Charlamagne at his word, I 100% agree with Charlamagne. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Charlamagne said in the apology, you want to call it fake, whatever. I don't care. But he said, if I'm taking him at his word, I had no idea what this lady looked like. You told the story. It sounded like big back energy to him.
I don't have a big back, and I've been through something similar.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, listen.
So that doesn't, that's just, don't that's what that's listen. Doing. 13-year-old
shit.
You're listen. Talking about her really physical appearance in this specific
situation. But if he never saw her, he's just guessing that she's big.
I think you saw her, T.
Okay, maybe not. Guess what? I didn't watch that bullshit. I don't care about it. I don't care. Guess what I thought? Big bag energy.
She wanted to believe them lies, and she did. What it was is that she was emotionally manipulated into believing that she had something real, which most women fall for. You know what I'm saying? And we don't have to be desperate.
Guess what?
Anything like that to want something real. It's the fact that maybe she's one of them women like myself have gone through relationships after relationships that didn't quite work out, and it's just we just want to know when it's our turn to
you know what
have
the difference
somebody
is
that's
between me and you
us and love us.
This is the difference between me and you when it comes to this subject. You know what she was talking about. You watched the little Siri thing. I didn't. All I heard was that clip. All I heard was the first clip. That first clip. Well, no, the first clip. Yeah, I don't even know what Just Hilarious said about it. All I know is what Charlamagne said. And if I take him at his word, if I only take him at his word, I see why he said it. I understand. Okay, that's what it's given. Do I agree? I don't agree because you could be quote unquote big back. You could be a baddie. You could be a slim chick. You could be whatever size. You all get played. Everybody get played.
Everybody
males and
played.
Females.
I think he was using it just to, you know, maybe like do a joke, and the joke went way over, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people had.
Charlamagne was
I get
Charlamagne.
That. He was being ass like he always is. You
and
know?
And I love assholes. So, and I'm a fan of Charlamagne.
Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, slow down.
I'm a fan of people who act like assholes because I am an asshole.
Hold on.
I am an asshole to the height, not the highest degree. I'm not a fan of Kanye no more. He's too big of an asshole. He's out of my assholeness realm.
So I don't fuck with him like that no more. Asshole behavior likes asshole behavior.
He surpassed my level of assholeness.
I just feel like Charlamagne having that platform, he should have definitely very well enough did his research before he kind of like jumped out there because he had that lady feelings.
Why should he do his research though?
You talking about it. Why
he's
not
the news.
He's not the news.
Why should he do his research?
News, but he should have definitely done his research a little bit before he commented on it. That's just like talking out of turn. When you don't really know what it is that you're supposed to be saying and you say the wrong things. Then you upset not just her, but you upset a lot of women.
Who cares if he talk out of turn? Who cares?
You know what, T?
Yeah. America. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. People are too insensitive. I can't stand y'all niggas. Shut the fuck up.
Load it up. Let's go.
Insensitive.
I'm sorry. Get out of here. Sorry. People are too sensitive.
You're right. Okay. People are insensitive.
Go jump off a building somewhere. God damn it. Please.
That wasn't being sensitive to the situation. I could see if it was something else, but it was something that she was just doing. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to get her story out there. She ain't have to get, you know.
Guess what? Guess what? This is the thing.
About to get her.
When you put yourself out there, especially on social media, social media is full of disrespect.
Yeah, that is.
Yes, sir.
Point blank.
You got to take it. Sorry.
I agree
with you. Put yourself out there, you got to take it.
That's a good point.
I take the comments when they talk the fat jokes about me. Got to take it.
Yeah.
Put yourself out there, you got to take it.
That's a problem. That's a problem Shannon Sharp is having right now.
He got to take that one.
he getting in his feelings. He not used to that.
To
the people talking shit. Now, this is the last one for the night. Now, Trey, I don't know if you have this article up or not.
Hold on one second. Let me, I got it right here.
All
right,
so this is from yourtango.com. And it says 15 sad signs you're a married single mom. I don't even know what that means.
So
I bet you don't.
It says
shit.
Go ahead. You
hey, let me take this one.
Do your thing.
Let me handle this.
Go ahead.
So listen. This article is basically talking about women who are, I guess, quote unquote, suffering silently in their marriages. But what about the men? But anyway, we're gonna get back to that, right, Donnie?
Oh my God!
We're gonna get back to that. So check it out. So this, so one, number one, the vast majority of childcare and housework is done by you. Talking about you, women.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get a break. That's some pain with a broad brush ass shit. Do you know how much dishes I wash? Do you know how much clothes I wash and fold? Here's the thing about being
but
a
not
housewife,
every man does that.
That a lot of guys don't get. It takes a lot of work. Moms who don't get breaks and don't have husbands who pitch in often feel like they're the only ones doing work and that this will cause resentment big time. Number mm-hmm. two, actually, you're in charge of the childcare, housework, and income. Damn, and income? Mm-hmm. This is the point where you may just want to admit that your husband is dead weight in the relationship. I don't even like where this shit going. So, number three.
Did it strike a nerve?
Hey, it's 15 of these motherfuckers, so I'm on the other three. hey, so look, number three says you resent your husband both for sleeping in on weekends and going out for days at a time, primarily because you don't ever get to do the same thing. Not at my house. Mm. Number four, you stop expecting him to make time for date night or even dinner. See, guys, this is why your wife out here cheating on y'all, because y'all don't be doing shit around the goddamn house. You feel me? This is a sign that you subsequently just given up hope on him actually being there for you. At this point, you might want to ask yourself if you're actually getting anything out of this relationship. That's big. Number five, when a household fixture breaks, you're the one who would take care of it. I don't know what type mm-hmm. of household baby girl stay in. I actually met a guy mm-hmm. about a month ago. He said he don't cut the grass. He said none of that shit. He said his wife cut the grass. I was like, okay, playboy.
Yeah. Some of us do it all.
You feel like you have an extra child. They going in. I'm sorry. I apologize, man. I ain't know all this shit was in there. Right? He's away. Number seven. He's away for the majority of the week, whether you like it or not. Come on, man. Whose household is that?
Yeah, who living this life?
If your husband died tomorrow, not much would change about your house routine.
This sound like this is based on. So hold on. So it says 15 sad signs you're married. Oh, okay. She's married, but she feel like she's single.
She feel like she's You could probably have an affair and he'd never notice. Get the fuck out of here. I'm a notice. You understand
really?
Me, Donnie? Do you understand?
We already had that podcast.
Number 10. You feel like you got a bait and switch deal. Damn, like he married you just to have you be like his in-house maid and you know what I mean? Number 11. You stop asking your husband to help you with anything. Anything. Number 12. Even though you're married, you feel very alone in your relationship. That shit go both ways, though. That goes both ways, Donnie. Do you understand?
It do go both ways. However, we ain't talking about, they ain't talking about y'all. They talking about some women that have gone through this. So let's keep the focal on that. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, I can agree to that. You know, I felt like, you know, half of that was on there, you know, without going in too deep. But
so in any of your relationships, Donnie, you felt like you were alone in a relationship?
Yeah, I did. I was responsible for the children, responsible for the cooking and cleaning. Yeah, I was in here building dressers and putting up bunk beds and, you know, fixing doorknobs and doing yard work. Yeah, I was doing all of it. You know, and it did get to the point where it was just like, ain't no point in me asking, you know, because I do it myself. It ain't going to get done unless I do it. Or if it does get done, it's done piss poor.
So,
you know,
are those women justified in emotional or physical interaction with other men as like an escape?
I guess for them, I never did it, but I mean, I feel like they probably would be, I guess. I don't know.
Well,
I can't particularly answer
that
question.
It's a lot of women who don't really hold their weight too much, but if a man wrote the article, I think it'll come off as like women, you know, bashing. But at the same time, I think that this article is pretty accurate. But I do feel like females who are going through this, I think that they need to just probably up the communication and what they need and what they're lacking.
I mean, you can communicate all day long. It's just up for, it's just, I feel like after a while, communication is no longer valid. You know what I'm saying? You got what you got, and either you're going to deal with it or you're not.
That's when it's time to roll.
That's big back behavior, apparently.
I have a problem. I have a problem with this.
Go ahead, T. Talk about it.
My first problem is, okay, the title says 15 sad signs, blah, 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 blah.
It only gave me
and it's only 12.
It's only 12, right?
That's my first problem. That's my first problem.
They're already lying and shit. Yeah.
You know, the second problem with this, this reads like the, what is it called? Synopsis to a Lifetime movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You think so?
Yes. The way they, because all they do is bash men on Lifetime.
And kill them.
It actually bashing men, or is it?
I think a lot of that's true.
What women feel like they go through in these specific situations.
Both.
I say both.
I feel it. Okay.
Now, my take on it is this. I'm sure there are women who are in these situations, but when you describe all 12, if a woman is in all 12 of those, it sounds like she need to consider counseling with the guy or getting a new person, because that's crucial.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to having the kids, and that's a lot of women's main gripe, taking care of the kids by themselves. And if you taking care of the kids by yourself, cooking, cleaning, and doing house shit, then it seemed like that.
But you also got to look at it from a standpoint. Some people just don't want to break up their families, you know.
Definitely, a lot of people do that. But is it? But at the end, yeah,
is it worth it?
Yeah, is it worth your happiness? That's something that you got to weigh. Mm-hmm. But
Darius said to the ladies, just get a side piece and you'll stay happy.
Just get a side piece.
Hey, a lot of people do that.
Nah, see, I'm the type, after a while, I got to go, because ain't no point. Yeah. If it's not worth for me going out here cheating, and I'm going to go back to the same. If I'm cheating, I'm cheating to leave. Yeah. That's how I would look at it. So, like, nah, it ain't no point in getting no side piece.
Well,
just change
what,
your name.
Guess what point we at?
Player.
We at this point. Watch this.
Ask the Backroom.
Y'all know I love to play that, John. So this is a segment where we get our listeners to DM us on Instagram, which is the Rec Room Pod. So if you don't follow us, go ahead and follow us. And they inbox us questions or scenarios that they would like us to talk about or ask on the pod. And we have an Ask the Rec Room tonight. And and what is it?
Okay. Okay, since somebody want a little bit of recognition, we're going to take this one. And Tata had a very, very good question. This one was, if your girl or your significant other had gotten an abortion without telling you, how would you handle it?
When?
When?
Yeah. What age am I?
I don't know. You gotta ask that lady that. It was just the question that I thought was very, very interesting. Have you guys ever been in that situation where, you know, that could have possibly happened?
I'll say this. Me thinking about it. Like T asked, that's a good question. Now, I'm about to say some real honest shit, right? When T asked about the question, the age, I don't know what he was alluding to, but I'm thinking of it in the way of, if I was young and I wasn't ready for kids, and then the person that I'm with told me that she did that, I would feel a way. But I would feel different if I also didn't want a kid. I would feel like, you know, damn, you should at least tell me, but that was the right move, or, you know, something like that. But let's just change the scenario to, I really would have told you, please keep it. and you didn't tell me and you did it on your own, that's going to hurt me. That's going to something that I will think about forever. Mm-hmm. And that will make me, probably start looking at the person that I'm with just a little different.
Do you think that it would destroy your relationship as a whole?
I think that would depend on, like T said, I think it would depend on the age. Now, if we're in our 30s and we're getting close to the time where you might not be able to have children, mm-hmm. yeah, that might, I don't know. That right there, we talking about some real serious shit. Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm with you in my young 20s or something like that, I don't know, because you think a little different or you feel a little different when you're younger. You got a whole lot of life ahead of you. So I think it just depends on the time frame. It's variables in there. So if I'm going to speak from an overall, it's different variables. But she asked kind of like a yes or no question. So yeah. I'm going to try to give a yes or no answer. And my answer is going to be yes, I would feel away.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. The T answer?
No. I'm a firm believer of her body, her choice. So this is how I answer that. When I was younger, if I'm 22 and I find out at 22 that my lady had an abortion, didn't tell me like when she was 19, when we were 19 or something, mm-hmm. I may high five a good looking out. You know I ain't want that shit.
Not the high five, T.
But this is at 22. This is young me that hated kids, that made myself think shit. That I hated kids. Oh yeah, you know, Trey. You know when I kicked that kid out, he almost fell on the steps. You know about that.
Oh Lord.
and the mama was on the balcony with my cousin, and mama was mad. But you know, I ain't care. I told her, I said, look, he gotta go. You can stay. He gotta go.
Bruh. You know,
hey, I told you, I'm an asshole. I am an asshole. I'm staying in it.
Y'all kick the kid.
But listen, me today, I'm a fillaway. I'm a fillaway. Yeah. Ever since that car hit me, I want a kid. I never wanted a child until I was in a hospital.
Okay, I get it.
I never heard you say that before.
I never heard you say that.
So, first of all, it would be no more goddamn relationship if I found out about
you
that.
Would break up?
At any what? Age, Trey?
At any fucking age. Because, no.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Why?
Because like that's my child. I need to know something. I mean, you gotta talk to me about this shit. You know what I'm saying? Just like Darius. Like if I you know, I ain't gonna say what Darius said. That shit was hilarious. But no, I need to know. Like in my 20s, 30s, or goddamn 40s. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, of course it's your body. Of course, I'm not on that type of time. But it's a respect thing. Mm-hmm. It's a respect thing. It's like you got some guys who go sneak and get vasectomies and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, how would the woman feel?
Shit, I know a situation. I know a situation where the woman was acting like she just couldn't get pregnant, but the whole time she didn't want to get pregnant by her husband. And she was making it seem like she don't know what was going on, but she was actually on birth control. But that's a whole nother thing. But I'm just saying, scenarios can reverse. That's a reverse situation. A guy can't carry a child, but a woman could do shit like that. You know what I mean? And that happened in real life.
It was worse is he's been talking to you about how much he might want one. Right? And we're not talking about, like, we're talking about, like, people in marriages. Like, this shit happens. Just like what he just said. That shit happens in marriages. So it can go both ways. But yeah, like we talk about everything else. You don't think that this is not important enough to talk about? At least bring it up to me. And you know how, and I know you know how I feel about children. So hell yeah, I'll fucking leave. I'm out. I'm leaving.
I almost did that. I almost, you know, went behind somebody back and did that because I just felt like that person wasn't going to be, you know, a good father to my child. Mm-hmm. And I was right. You know, I don't you know like, I love all of my kids, you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad that I didn't. Mm-hmm. However, I think if a woman put herself in that situation where she feel like she got to go behind your back, then maybe she feels as if she, you shouldn't be, that's you know, it. The father of her kid. There's something there. Yeah. There's an underlying issue there.
Yeah. Yeah. And DJ said that, he said, I know somebody that said that they were going to get an abortion and never got it. Mm. And then did not tell the guy until the kid was 1 year old.
Oh, I know somebody that did that too. Wow. Took the money and didn't never get the abortion.
Then they take your ass to court.
That's a whole other situation.
That's crazy.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
You gonna push her down the steps, T?
Nah, hey, I'm gonna take the kid. I'm gonna take the kid, and I'm gonna get you locked up. I'm gonna get all the dirt on you, and I'm telling it to the courts.
Oh my God, that
shit happens every day. Yeah. That shit happens every day, unfortunately.
So that's our Ask the Rec Room. And like I said before we started Ask the Rec Room, if you have any questions that you want us to speak about on Ask the Rec Room, just follow us on Instagram and then hit us in the DM.
Bang, bang. So look, y'all know how we do this thing every week. We got Miss Leray McCray from VA. Thanks for being here with us tonight. That's Interesting Podcast. In here with us tonight, we got the family in here. We got Shed Bear. We got the infamous Tata. We got Miss Love. We got Miss Love _. Thank you for being in here with us tonight. We got Trudy Red. Trudy Red. What's up, Trudy Red? Of course, every week we got Mr. Darius, the author, in here with us.
What up, D?
We got the fabulous Miss Van Robb. Thank you so much, Miss Van Robb, for being here with us tonight, like every other week. Who else we got in here tonight? We got a full house. Like we got my man DJ. His son was on fire last night.
Good DJ.
My man, little DJ was on fire last night. We got Miss Coco Melon. Thank you, Miss Coco Melon, for being here with us. Tonight we have Valencia Curry. That's Steph Curry sister. Valencia Curry in here with us tonight. Thank you so much. We got 2020-104 in here with us tonight. That's your first timer. We appreciate you, man. We deep in here. Give me 1 second. Who else we got? That's what we got in here tonight, man. We deep as always in here, baby.
Well, that's what's good. As I say every week, the pod is also, yes, we on Podbean, but the pod also is available on anywhere that you have streaming, meaning Google Pods, Amazon, Spotify, all of those places you can listen to the pod. We also do on-camera pods for first-time listeners. So if you go to follow us on Instagram at The Rec Room Pod, you'll see a link in the bio for our YouTube page. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, and there you will see the in-person pod, so you can put faces with the voices with the faces. And also, as I say every pod, everybody has a pod, but everybody isn't us. To the next time.
Peace.